Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Zeke's going after people. Zeke is going after people on Twitter as we speak. Welcome into hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. We're going to talk to David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com here in just a second. But we got to the bottom of what does faded mean, okay? Earlier in the show, Zeke forgot to turn off his live stream, and he said that he was low-key faded, and we're trying to get to the bottom of, is that inebriated with alcohol? Is that marijuana-related? Well, SI, in their headline, put, Ezekiel Elliott forgets to log off, admits to being high. He retweeted it and said, actually,
that's dangerous.
I was referring to the few drinks I had, which I said during the live stream, doesn't that make this defamation? You guys will be hearing from my lawyers.
Uh-oh.
And then he said, and anyone else on the BS, keep reaching, why don't you? Then somebody from an NBC station had sent out, seems like Ezekiel Elliott forgot he was still on a live stream and admitted something. Hashtag highlights, hashtag high five.
See?
And Zeke said, you too, boss.
Yep.
He's coming after everybody.
We tried to tell y'all it could be anything.
Anything. And you weren't in that room, so you got to be careful because you can get that sued.
Is it defamation? Is high worse than drunk? Like, don't we have to power rank these now?
It's what? Buzzed.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
It's all the same. Faded all right. Is buzzed.
Let's bring in Dave Hellman to get to the bottom of this. Dave, how are you doing this
He's
afternoon,
in the
sir?
Building!
No, I think the real question is, like, how happy to have this just dropped on you in the middle of the drive time part of the afternoon. It's pretty great, right?
Well, I don't know, because now it looks like he's going to sue lots of people, and so I got to think back to the previous segment and think if I might have insinuated that he was either high or drunk, because if I did, I didn't mean it.
Nice. Yeah, good job. Good cover.
So it's just such a weird thing in a quarantine because there's literally nothing going on to where Ezekiel Elliott on the stream can become a main story, and then Ezekiel Elliott dog is also in the news today. Is that – do you think the teammates could care less at all about these stupid stories? Is there any headache element to it where it's like, why do we got to read about you every day?
I mean, no. First of all, like, I doubt that those guys are really paying attention to the media in the first place. Like, literally, Zeke just tweeted, like, you know, I would expect this from a gossip site, but not Sports Illustrated, because Zeke Elliott doesn't know nor care that Sports Illustrated has been totally gutted by another company and is nowhere near the pillar of journalistic integrity that it once was. Like, that's – but I don't expect Zeke Elliott to care about that, and I don't expect his teammates to care either. These guys are in the news for everything all day, all year. I really don't think quarantine is even part of it. Think about the number of dumb stories that Zeke and Dak have been part of during their time with the Cowboys, from the smoke shop Zeke's rookie year to the sexual water pistols a couple years after that. Like, there's all kinds of dumb stuff that these guys wind up in the news for.
Wait, the what?
I think if you
– You never heard
you
that story?
Remember that?
You never heard that, Jeff? The pictures?
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, they went
Zeke
on a little trip.
Zeke and Dak bought water pistols that looked like a piece of human anatomy while they were on vacation a couple summers ago. And it was a story for like 4 or 5 days because it's the Dallas Cowboys. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, and they had a picture of them at the cashier's counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Water pistols.
Long story short, you can Google it, Jeff. I promise you it's there. Long story short, I think if you play for the Cowboys, you're numb to this stuff, and you're probably pretty good at not paying attention to it in the first place.
Non-Cowboy question for you. What would it take for Bill Belichick to ever be suspended? I'm very confused by the Patriots getting caught for Spygate again, but the punishment being less this time?
It is pretty funny that, you know, the NFL went as far as to suspend Sean Payton for an entire year. And I think the evidence that they had on a bounty program with the Saints was way flimsier than some of the stuff we've seen from the past. I feel like they'd probably have to catch Bill actually videotaping something himself, maybe. There's like two decades worth of history that says they can get away with almost whatever they want.
The number one murder bird fan in the NBA, David Hellman, joining us today. I had to explain what the murder birds were today, Dave.
I don't expect people to keep up with dumb New Orleans Pelicans culture. Even with Zion, they're like one of the least visible teams in the NBA.
But not now. We're about to win all these games. 8-0, Dave. Get ready. We're about to be in the playoffs.
Give Zion some time. Hey, I'm excited. You know, it's funny. Like, I'm really not paying attention to any of that stuff. I don't completely.
Why do you hate sports?
Love sports.
No, you don't.
I love sports, and I'm worried that they're going to yank it away from us in 3 weeks because of some positive tests or whatever. So I'm just kind of, you know, like when the games tip off, I'll be there. But until then, I'm really nervous that this is all going to be for nothing.
All right, Dave, I'll ask you some sports then. How about this? I've got wagers going off on this contract getting done, and I know you're probably tired of talking about it, but you are inside that building occasionally.
Since March.
Yeah. I was saying, is anybody inside the building that you talk to see any light, or are you to the point where you think that he's going to just play on this tack?
My opinion changes very frequently based on, like, the last conversation that I had. And the last conversation I had was not very optimistic. Having said that, And it is a shame because, you know, we're not inside the building. You don't have those organic opportunities. Like, you know, obviously you can call people and text people, but stuff just comes to you a lot more organically when you can bump into people and have conversations, and you know how that works. And
right.
It's been a shame that we haven't had that this season. The last time I really talked to anybody about it, like I said, it didn't feel super optimistic, but I just also know that there's a long history of things kind of kicking into gear out of nowhere. I mean, you remember the contentious conversations we were having last year about trading DeMarcus Lawrence because there was no way that a deal was going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then seemingly out of nowhere, it all came together in about 36 hours. Very similar with Zeke's extension too. So I don't feel super optimistic about it right now, but there's still a little more than 2 weeks to go, so who knows what's going to happen.
Hey, David Hellman, I've got a question for you because we were just talking about quarterbacks last hour. You have a tweet that I totally agree with about the greatest living NFL player right now, who is a local guy, but I consider him the greatest insurance policy of all time. Someone said he's first team finesse. I want to give major props to this guy, and you can go ahead and lead the rest of the way. Let's talk about the great Chase Daniel.
I love Chase Daniel so much. And that's how I know I'm not really wired for the NFL because, like, those guys are competitors. They want to be the best. They want the ball in their hands with the game on the line. I don't. I want to get paid, like, $10 million a year to hold a clipboard. I want to only appear in a game 5 times in my career or start a game. Excuse me. I'm not wired that way to be the alpha dog. And I just think Chase Daniel has had the most admirable NFL career of all time. Wasn't even drafted.
Nope.
Hung out with Washington and the Saints for a little while. Won a Super Bowl for, you know, handing Drew Brees, a Gatorade when he got off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just been kicking around the NFL ever since, collecting massive paychecks for not doing that much work. And I admire the hell out of it. So I just think the world of the guy.
Yeah, for those who don't know his story, he won state championship at South Lake a couple of times. Then he goes to University of Missouri. He gets into the NFL. He has made $34.5 million. He's won a Super Bowl ring. He only started 5 games, and he knows his role. He's the best insurance policy because he's a quarterback and he knows what he can do. He knows the plays and they can count on him, which is why he keeps getting the good money. So props to Chase Daniel. And he's a great guy. He's a really nice guy.
When you bring up, like, the greatest finessers in NFL history, people love to talk about Sam Bradford. But, like, Sam Bradford,
he got hurt.
He was the number one. He's got a laundry list of injuries. He was the number one overall pick, so there's some bust factor that goes into that. You know, obviously the Rams were expecting much more from what they got from him. Chase Daniel's an undrafted free agent. Like, I'll take Chase Daniel's career over Sam Bradford's every single time.
Yes, sir.
Dave, give me a percentage, including decimal points, that Jadeveon Clowney ends up a Cowboy and that Jamal Adams ends up a Cowboy.
I put Clowney significantly lower than Adams, probably. And I know, I mean, I've seen you arguing about it on Twitter. I know you have to give up a lot less to get Clowney, but it's all, you know, it's for some reason it just doesn't strike me as something they would want to do because they got Alden Smith, so they kind of have that talented pass rusher. And I know he's been out of the league for 5 years, but he's also pennies compared to even if Clowney takes a discount because it's almost July, he's still going to cost a ton more than Alden Smith ever did. And you're very likely only getting him for a year. I know you can turn that into a comp pick, but for a variety of reasons, it just doesn't sound worth the hassle to me. Whereas Jamal Adams, if you actually go through with that, you know, he's going to be a cornerstone piece of your defense for 3 to 6 years. He's younger than Clowney. He doesn't have the injury history that Clowney does. He plays a position that they need a lot more, I know, in my opinion at least, because, you know, you have Tank, you have Alden Smith, you maybe have Randy Gregory. So I don't think it's a high percentage for either one of them, but I think I'd say it's higher for Jamal than Clowney.
Do you have a preference on I mean, obviously nobody would actually care if Jamal Adams ended up a Cowboy. We would just have Jamal Adams as a Cowboy, and it would be great. But in terms of compensation, is there something that you think is fair, Dave?
I mean, obviously I would do it for a one. We got into a big fight a couple weeks ago because you said you'd cut it off at a fourth-round pick, and I think you're insane.
Yeah, because you're a pushover, Dave. You're just like, yeah, whatever you want.
Well, I thought you were going to call him something else there for a minute.
Nah, not a coward. No. Dave's a trade pushover. He's just like, yeah, whatever you want. No. It's cool.
Dave wants great players on his team, and Dave knows that historically fourth-round picks just aren't that valuable. I would do it for a
Dak
one.
Prescott.
I would do it for a one and a three. Okay, yeah, that's one, Brian. That is literally one fourth-round pick by the Cowboys.
You asked for one.
In Jerry Jones's tenure, that is on the level with Jamal Adams. I actually looked this up. They've drafted 48 guys in the fourth round during Jerry Jones's tenure. I believe five of them played at a Pro Bowl level at any point in their career. So Dak is way, way, way the exception and not the rule.
But then you got to look up the 48 first-rounders, too, because that's pretending like you weren't also giving them a first.
Okay, but you're getting Jamal Adams. Like, he's arguably the best safety in football right now, or certainly, like, top four, and he's, like, 24 years old. Who cares?
Dave, let me ask you this, though. If you go and get a guy like Adams, you do it because with this coaching staff, not the previous one, right? I mean, I'm looking at this. They would never make a move. The previous coaching staff would never make a move for this guy, would they?
No, not a chance. They would come back with something about how he didn't fit their scheme. That's what they said about Tyrann Mathieu, which still makes me mad four years later. No, I can't see that, but that's the fun thing. And, you know, they did go get Amari Cooper, but that was during the season when there was a month worth of tape that suggested that their passing offense just couldn't get it done. It would be out of character for the Garrett regime to do this during the offseason. But, I mean, we've seen several things from Mike McCarthy's tenure that makes me think you can't write it off. You know, whether that's, you know, investing in defensive tackle, investing in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix when they had the opportunity, drafting CeeDee Lamb. You know, they've been kind of aggressive compared to recent years. So, like I said, I don't think it's likely, but I definitely don't think you should completely write it off.
Did you trade CeeDee Lamb and Neville Gallimore for Jamal Adams?
No, that upsets me a lot. Cause
Hell CD, no.
I mean, CD Lamb.
I'm just checking. I'm just throwing out a 1 and a 3, Dave. I'm just throwing out a 1 and a 3. I'm just asking.
No. I mean, I would gladly, gladly is harsh, but like Neville Gallimore, I'm listening. Like, if they wanted that for some reason, I think they'd probably rather have a future pick. Picks are always more valuable than actual players.
Would you give up Lyle Collins?
No way. Like, that's, you can't have, I'm trying to stockpile good players. You can't have the good players that I already have.
You're trying to add one here. You said you wanted to add one.
Yeah, but not at the expense of my right tackle, especially my Pro Bowl caliber right tackle.
And your future left tackle.
Because of injury problems. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Dave.
I'm dealing picks. You can't have anybody that's come close to making a Pro Bowler. That's my rule. That's where I draw the line.
You want an all pro, but you won't give up somebody who's ever gotten close to the Pro Bowl.
Exactly, yeah.
You give up Gallup? Michael Gallup?
Nope. Can't have Gallup either.
Oh, okay.
I'm stingy with the players that are already here.
That Dalton Schultz trade is going to look brilliant when you make it, right?
Let's do a, like, what's wrong with a first, a third, and a fourth? I'll do that all day. Don't make me give up my good players.
So you would give up CeeDee, Gallimore, and Biadasz?
No, Jeff, because they're already on my team. What if I'm giving up Taco Charlton?
There you go, Dave. There you go.
Well, that would be better.
Like, let's not act like the perfect draft class is the one that you're giving up. They miss just as often as they hit. Ooh. And that's every team, not just the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. That's David Hillman at DallasCowboys.com.
All right, Dave, have a great day. Enjoy your quarantine. Your beard looks great.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Murder Birds.
All right, coming up next, what does Dak Prescott have to prove to you? 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. We'll do it next in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. My question for you on the Autoflex Leasing fan text in this segment, 877-881-1053, is what does Dak Prescott have to prove to you? Because I was donging around on the internet, and I stumbled upon some numbers that I thought were really interesting. And then I coupled it up with thinking back to before last football season started. Obviously, they went 8-8, which is probably not what you dreamed they would do in terms of wins and losses. But I had a couple of things that I was hoping that Dak Prescott would take strides in last football season. And we talked about a couple of them, I believe, on Friday. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Mark Rubin with Rubin and Associates. If you're facing foreclosure, repossession, IRS, credit card, or medical debt, you don't have to face it alone. With one phone call, Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders, manage debt, protect your property, and get you living life again. Call Mark right now at 1-800-LAWYERS. That's Mark Rubin and Rubin and Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. And I'm not telling you how you have to judge players, just how I do. If you want to say they haven't won enough, that's cool. That's how you're viewing the game. That's cool. But I went into last football season, CA and Brian, and said two things I would like to see. I would like to see him have better pocket awareness, get rid of the ball, and stop taking so many sacks. And I would like to see him be more consistently accurate when throwing the deep ball. 1 and 2, right? And so what did Dak Prescott do when they went and played football? Well, let me get the exact sack numbers pulled up in front of me. But he went from almost being sacked 60 times to being sacked in the low 20s, I believe the number is. Yeah, he went from 56 to 23, so more than cut it in half. Obviously, offensive line is a part of that, but I think sacks are also partially on the quarterback. So he fixed that part. What I stumbled upon was numbers from former NFL DB Matt Bowen. You remember Matt Bowen in the league?
I do. Iowa safety.
So what he did is he went with the NFL's stats on how did quarterbacks do when they were in the pocket and they threw a ball 20 or more yards down the field, 20-plus air yards from the pocket. So we're not broken plays. We're not keeping the play alive and making magic happen. We're in the pocket. We're on time. We're throwing the ball downfield. And I think most people would probably think that in that setting, Dak is not one of the best in the league. Well, last year, the top five quarterbacks, when they were thrown at 20 or more yards in the air down the field from inside the pocket, Patrick Mahomes was number one. His total QBR was 99.5. Number two is actually Gardner Minshew. That guy was throwing some deep balls to DJ Chark. Hmm. He's making things happen. Number three was Jimmy Garoppolo, 98.7. Number four was Dak, 98.1 QBR when he threw it 20 or more yards down the field. And number five was Deshaun Watson. Now, there was an important follow-up question that was asked by Nate Tice, who is a Tolo. And I saw him ask Matt, he was like, well, how many attempts? And this got me excited. Mahomes, 51 times from inside the pocket, he threw it 20 or more yards down the field. 51. Keep that number in mind. Gardner Minshew, 42 times. Not slinging it down there as much as Patty does. Jimmy Garoppolo, 27. Not throwing it down the field nearly as often as Patty Mahomes does. Dak Prescott, how about 65?
Mm-hmm.
How about 14 more times than Pat Mahomes is how often Dak Prescott pushed the ball 20-plus yards down the field in the air from the pocket.
Oh, and see, Deshaun, there you go. You're trying to say he's better than Patrick Mahomes. He ain't getting that kind of money.
And Deshaun Watson, 52 times. So I say that just to say that for me, Dak has almost nothing to prove. I think he's already done it.
He better prove a Super Bowl ring.
I asked him to stop taking so many sacks and to become consistent throwing the ball down the field. He took less sacks, and he not only became consistent throwing the ball down the field, he became very good at it while being more aggressive than almost everybody in the league and doing it a lot. So those were mine. That was what I wanted from him.
Those were empty yards.
Okay, Billy Bob, I understand. But then my question for you guys is, and for the Autoflex Leasing fan text, what does Dak have to prove to you? Because those were my things, and he did it. So, Brian, for you, Dak Prescott, if he plays on the tag this year, has to prove what?
Well, I think that, to me, I like what you're saying about the downfield stuff, but I just look at the overall accuracy. And the deep ball stuff is great. The big plays are great. But, you know, you've got some guys that have that ability to run after catch stuff, you know, and if Dak Prescott's a guy, and this is where Pat Mahomes kills people, and I'm sorry, this is going to be a long answer, but this is where when you talk about Mahomes, how many big explosive plays do they have when he throws the ball to, say, Hill or somebody, and then all of a sudden it's run after catch? You know, I just need Dak Prescott to win those routes when it's the slants, when it's the digs, when it's those balls that need to be on target that don't get tipped in the air and then all of a sudden become an interception in the game. You know, I'd like to see him have that ability to where, you know, where the run after catch, give your receivers the opportunity to make those plays. Don't make them have to work for the ball. If the ball is low or high or behind or too far in front, you know, that's where these really good quarterbacks, we've seen him with the Breezes and those guys, Mahomes, they'll throw the ball out front and those guys will take it and they'll go. And that's where I want to see Dak Prescott, because I know he could throw going to his left. I know he has a better understanding of what people are trying to do to him scheme-wise defensively. I think he can get you in and out of the plays. I think he can escape. But I want to see that accuracy. I want to see that pinpoint to when he hits CeeDee Lamb on that crossing route and CeeDee Lamb doesn't even break stride, that he just takes the ball and he is up the field. If I see Dak Prescott throwing those receivers open all day, then that's something I will be very, very pleased with his game, that he's shown me that, going into year five, that development is clearly there.
CA?
And you know what? I'm going to co-sign with you on that, but I'm going to give you my thing I'm looking for him to do more of. I'm going to co-sign with you on that, because when people who love Dak say, and I love Dak, well, his receivers led the league in drops. Well, part of that is his fault, because like Brian said, some of those passes were a little bit too low, a little bit too high, a little bit behind the receiver. They were catchable, but they had no room for yak, and so they dropped quite a few of them. If he improves that, that's going to improve his game. But to me, what I'm looking for, him is to be weaponized more with this fact. What do all these great running backs always say? Oh, I left a lot of meat on the bone. I want to see him make more plays with his legs. I think if he does that, and I'm not talking about turning to Lamar Jackson, but we know he's capable of doing it. And he said in the locker room, you know, on Wednesdays, he talked to a lot of us, and he said, you know, I just instinctually do it. It's not designed plays. I just kind of see where we are, and then I just kind of go for it. If he does that more often, I do believe that defensive coordinators have to account for that. And if they have to account for that, they really have to give him more space. So I want to see more plays with his legs. That's what he has to prove to me, that he knows how to make more plays with his legs. Other than that, I'm completely satisfied with the guy.
If you were on the franchise tag, would you start running more?
Hell no.
I might tell him I'm not running.
He doesn't get hurt, and there's probably a reason why.
Well, he got hurt last year.
Yeah, he did get dinged up a little bit. You know.
Oh, the shoulder. Yeah.
I think that when – this is just my opinion, but when they get Dak Prescott involved in the game and he starts to get that feel for the game, I think that's when he's at his absolute best. We've seen him in those hurry-up situations and stuff where he's – third down, he's having to make a scramble. He gets a first down. He gets tackled. He pops up. They're back to the line. He's moving the team. You know, I like what everybody's saying. I know Gavin Dawson is big on that, too. Get him going. Get him running. And, you know, when you do get him as part of the game, that tends to make him flow better in the way he plays. So the more you can do that, I think the better off you're going to be in the long run.
The Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053. We're looking for, what does Dak have to prove to you? The 903, that he can get to the playoffs, that he can win in the playoffs, that he can step up and put the team on his back and make plays running. Use the RPO to the fullest extent of the law. There's not a law for or against the RPO. And multiple people saying they'd like to see him do more at the line of scrimmage. Is that, you think that's valid, Brian? To line up and not run what was called into your helmet, but instead look at the defense and say, no, I like this.
Are you saying kill, kill, kill?
I think he's very capable of that. And, you know, I think there are things that teams were trying to take away from him. You know, they obviously get line one, if you're playing Dak Prescott, is don't let him throw the ball on the move. You know, but he started to prove that he could throw from the pocket pretty accurately. I know coming into last season, there were some questions about that. If you get him outside the pocket, he's going to kill you. Keep him in the pocket, make him have to make those throws. But I think last year, you talked about the sacks, Jeff. I think there was a lot of the calmness that comes with Dak is because of Travis Frederick, or what Travis Frederick was able to do. And, you know, with Joe Looney, I don't know if you necessarily saw that calmness. I don't think you necessarily saw the calmness with knowing, too, that Connor Williams wasn't very good at left guard at times. So, you know, all of a sudden the two inside guys, and again, nothing against Joe Looney, but if you got a guy like Travis Frederick that's able to communicate not only with you on what needs to be done, he's communicating with the whole line. I think that's when Dak was trying to do too much. You know, too much of, okay, Joe, I love you like a brother, but man, I'm going to set, you tell me where that Mike linebacker is, and now I'm going to have to set the protection. And you saw a little bit of that carrying it deep into the clock and, you know, having to get the ball off, you know, right before the snap and or the clock goes down. So, you know, I think a year more of experience will help him. You just need to see that calmness and not so much that what appears to be the hurriedness or panic that we've seen before.
Hey, Brian, I want to co-sign with that one, too, because I remember when Travis Frederick was drafted, Jerry Jones told the story. One of the reasons he targeted Travis Frederick when everybody else was wondering, what the hell are you doing? He said that Tony Romo told him, if I had just one more second, imagine what I could do.
Right.
And then, of course, Travis Frederick's all pro from that point on, from the time he set foot with the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to miss that. And whether it's Joe Looney or a badass who's taking his place, Dak has got to feel comfortable that the guy in front of him is going to allow him time to do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Do we feel more comfortable about what's going to be in front of him?
Not
this
really.
This year than a year ago?
That's the questions I had, you know, when I asked you guys, what's going to make me feel better about the offense when I see it? When I see stability at center and I see stability at left guard, and I'm not questioning whether the left guard needs to be pulled this game. Oh, do I want to put in, you know, somebody else because the one guy's not getting the job done? And, oh, wait, I'm sacrificing an athlete for now for a guy that's just a big block in there, a big square block that can't move. You know, I don't need my offensive line. I don't need questions. There's a lot of things I can adjust to. I need my five guys to be my five guys.
Yeah.
You know, and we go back to Dak's, I almost said freshman year, his first year. What was going on with the five guys? That stability that they had up front. You know, once they figured out what was going to happen, you know, with Lyle Collins, you know, and get Ron Leary in there at guard and then Doug Free. I mean, that group was humming along, you know.
By the way, is Leary still out there?
He is still out there.
He's just hanging out.
Just hanging out. And he'll get signed. He'll get signed by somebody. But I'm looking for some stability, because if I see stability, I know the quarterback will feel stability.
Yeah. I feel a little bit better about the offensive line at the two spots that we have no idea who's going to play them, because I feel like before that was the backup. Like
better
Joe
options,
Looney,
yeah.
Like Joe Looney was the last option.
He's a Band-Aid.
It's like, uh-oh, Looney's got to go in. Whereas now, whoever it is, even if it were to be Looney again, it would be because, look, we drafted Connor Williams. We drafted Connor McGovern. We drafted Tyler Biadasz. We got bodies. Like, I feel this way about them kind of at defensive end, kind of at corner, and those interior spots where it's like, no, none of them are Zach Martin or Tyron Smith or Lyle Collins, but at least they've put some resources into there where there's enough bodies where I can feel like, look, it's going to be a meritocracy. We're going to come into camp. There's four of you. You're capable of playing in the NFL, you four. Two of you are going to be the ones that get to play. Go earn it. It's not going to be the guy who snuck onto the roster and then somebody got hurt.
Yeah, and we talked about this a bunch on our show, Jeff, about Joe Philbin, the line coach now. You know, I mean, now it's the last change they made with Paul Alexander wasn't good. That wasn't good, you know, and I give Garrett credit. He saw the situation and the coaching staff. He saw what was happening to his offensive line, and he made the switch. You know, Mark Colombo proved to do a great job. You know, he learned on the job. The offensive line made some nice gains.
Didn't Colombo join Garrett in New York?
He's there. Yeah, he's in New York.
Uh-oh.
So, but I think that there's, you know, if we have questions about the defense, we should have some questions about this offensive line. We feel pretty good at that right tackle. We feel pretty good at that right guard. We don't know about the center. We don't know about the left guard. And we think we got a guy that at left tackle that plays at a very, very high level but gets injured. So, you know, that's where we might have to focus a little bit. And you got a new coach there, you know, and so could there be growing pains there? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we don't have time for growing pains. We need those veteran guys and that coach all to be on the same page and find five guys that can help this quarterback continue to do his job.
By the way, real quick, there's a Tolo that wondered if I called the center a fat ass. No, I called him a badass.
Yeah, you did.
That's Tyler Biadasz's nickname from Wisconsin is Tyler Badass.
Badass. For everybody that during the draft wasn't sure about the pronunciation, they just kind of went with badass.
Yeah.
It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Coming up next, is that the only way you can eat fajitas? It's next in the nation. Hello, G-Bag Nation, and welcome back. It's time for a segment with Jeffrey. It's time for that. That
time,
particular.
Jeffrey.
The segment time is the one where Jeffrey has things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I ask you today is that the only way you can eat fajitas? There's a guy that...
Leave her alone, man.
It's always nice when your hometown gets its shine on, you know. From the age of 10, I was raised in Allen, Texas. And this viral story is from Allen, Texas. We have a man who is at Micocena, Tex-Mex, which, by the way, we might need to talk about Dalton Schultz. He called all Tex-Mex trash.
That was dumb.
Oh,
he should have never did that.
He shouldn't have done
that. Not he should apologize every day.
He should.
Yeah.
But he was looking for real Mexican food, and he was like, this Tex-Mex is trash. And I was like, well, you could ask for real Mexican without going there on the Tex-Mex, sir.
Yes, Tex-Mex is not Mexican food.
Play better.
Go get him then.
Yeah, play better.
So this guy tweets out, at Micocena Tex-Mex, my wife, date night, after 3+ months locked up on quarantine, waiting for shredded cheese. As it's the only way she can eat fajitas. We've asked 4 people, going on 18 minutes now. Just unreal. at Allen, Texas location. We got to quit blaming COVID-19 for crappy service. His replies didn't go well.
No.
People thought maybe there were more important things in the world than shredded cheese with your fajitas. But I got to say, I do kind of need shredded cheese with my fajitas.
But nothing else.
I wouldn't have waited 18 minutes.
It's not the most necessary thing, right?
Right.
It's like if you're eating hot wings, you want your ranch or your blue cheese, right. You got to have it or you're not eating your joints.
Lucius, that would be the only thing he would have on his plate if he didn't have the shredded cheese. No, he's not going to have the tomatoes. He's not going to have the lettuce.
He's not going to have the sour cream.
You don't say that, sir. I will have you know that I've made great progress, and now when it comes with the rice and the refried beans,
okay,
I'll dip the fork in the beans one time and kind of swipe that across as a little base there on my flour tortilla.
Okay.
And then I'll scoop a little bit of rice in there, and I'll make my own little Chipotle burrito out of my fajitas order, okay?
What about the grilled onions?
Ugh. Why would you even say that?
Because if they're grilled, they're really good.
How about the tomatoes?
The flavor of onion can be okay, but the onion itself, the texture... Not okay. Can't do the onions.
If it's grilled, though.
You know? No.
By the way, I want to say this before we get into further talk about this fajita. I think her problem and his problem, they didn't have enough Mambo Taxis. If they had a few more Mambo Taxis, they wouldn't be worried about those shit.
You wouldn't even care.
I got to tell you, my buddy at Not Chips To Be Trite on Twitter, he did some detective work on this. And if you look at the picture of her Mambo Taxi that's sitting in front of her, the outside of that glass is not even sweating yet. So I don't think there's any chance that's been there for 18 minutes.
No
Could
way.
They be lying about the time frame on this shredded cheese? Could they have only asked once and it had just been a couple of minutes? And he was like, you know what? I'm fed. I'm no shredded cheese. It's been 3 minutes. You didn't bring it out in the order. Or did they legitimately ask 4 people and it was 18 minutes?
Busted.
I don't know. But we also need to dig into...
The glass tells a story.
We need to dig into... waiting for shredded cheese as it's the only way she can eat fajitas. Like, not that she prefers it or that she wanted some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way that she can eat Is there a medical condition that makes it so you can't eat fajitas without shredded cheese on top?
Yes.
There's a medical condition for that?
No.
Yes.
No. I was trying to think of the phrase, and I couldn't think of it.
I've heard of conditions where you're with lactose intolerant.
Uh-huh. Got to like please that. My palatitis.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You got to please my palatitis.
Got to please my palatitis.
That's it. That's the words.
If there's no sour cream, if there's no guac, I'm not going to eat the fajitas.
Yeah, I don't quite get that. I mean, there's other things you could kind of doll it up with and kind of have one. And
she
say,
put some queso in there if you had to have some cheese at all. Yeah. You can put some queso in there if you have.
I will tell you, she
man, be a
miserable.
Little creative. She is. She's not very creative, by the
she
way.
Looks,
probably something else she doesn't do very creatively.
She looks spoiled.
She looks so miserable.
Was her name Karen?
Lucius?
Was her name Karen?
Yeah. I feel you, dog.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Missionary only. listen, these could be Tolos. No, chill out.
I'm just saying, though.
These could be Tolos.
I'm just saying there's other ways to creatively have food.
Don't
be so one-sided way.
If you're the guy who tweeted at me, Cassina,
fourth and eight, punt.
Punt. Yeah, boy.
Punt.
Yeah, dog.
We're not going for it. Punt.
Punt.
Fourth and eight. Yeah. Bones. Bones. Punt.
That.
Punt. Punt team. Punt team, be ready.
I was getting ready to yell at you for disrespecting my time, but then I remembered it's 5:40, and that's kind of what happens at this time.
It does. I'm sorry.
877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. If you know the people, can you get me in contact with the guy, the husband or the wife, see if we can get them on the show? That should be doable, right? They live in Allen.
Right.
We can get these people on the show. Somebody put me in contact so we can get to the bottom of the story here. I will say this about fajitas. I can't eat fajitas unless they're combo fajitas.
Really? Is to be beef and cheese?
Yeah,
I mean, beef and chicken?
Beef and chicken, yes. That's my medical condition. And if they have shrimp and it's at an affordable rate for the upcharge there, you can go all three. But I don't think a fajita is tasty if it's just chicken or just beef.
Oh, look at the fan text.
Load up, man.
What the hell is wrong with y'all? It's incomplete. They shouldn't have served those fajitas. So you asked for those people to call up. I think that's them right there.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead and call us. Yeah, that must be him. Surely no one else would send that text.
Yeah, so. Who's going to defend that?
Incomplete.
I mean, I would ask. I would ask up to twice, and then I would probably just eat it. But that's me. Some people would get up and walk over to somebody. Hey, still haven't got my dang shredded cheese. You're not getting a tip. Where's my stuff? But, yeah, as long as they're combo fajitas, we're all going to be fine. And it is weird because...
So you don't have a preference of the chicken over the beef or the beef over the chicken?
I like the beef better than the chicken, but I need them both.
You guys ever find you run out of tortillas before you run out of everything else?
Always.
I will usually ask for extra tortillas with the order because I know that they're going to bring me a thing that's got three or four in there.
I'm
going to need six, you know? And that's tough. And I did want to ask, and Lucius has already said it, with the wings, with the ranch or whatever, is there something that could make you send that tweet at the restaurant? You forgot my this.
Yeah.
I can't eat this without it.
I'm not.
Is there a food item that if it came without it, that you might have to tweet at the restaurant?
I'm not eating a Cobb salad without the dressing. Sorry. Okay. I don't know how you eat a salad without...
A Cobb. That's just nothing but lettuce.
Yeah, it's got a lot of nice things. The black beans, the blue cheese, all that stuff. And a Cobb, you know, the turkey. But it needs the dressing to kind of coat everything. So I would wait on the dressing.
I think there's people on this family side. The 512 says Taco Cabana includes shredded cheese, sour cream, and guac with fajitas. And it's a drive-thru.
Yeah.
I think they're taking shots here saying...
And you can drive away with your liquor now.
You sure can.
Taco Cabana.
You sure can.
What?
Yeah, you really?
Yes, you can.
Need to roll by there on the way home.
You got
to
make sure you get some food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I asked for the liquor first. They was like, well, sir, you have to order some food. I was like, okay, let me get a side of beans and then four of those.
There you go, Lucius. I knew you were there. Yeah.
The most disappointed I've ever been is probably when because I'll order like a double cheeseburger. I'll order it plain or pickles and cheese only or whatever. But I have had it where I ordered a double cheeseburger and it came as a double hamburger. I got to tell you, that's the most disappointed I've ever been.
You know what I would be shocked at? It's never happened, but wouldn't you be terribly disappointed if your Chick-fil-A sandwich didn't have that pickle? It's got to have the pickle.
No.
It's got
to. Chicken sandwiches have to have a pickle, dog.
The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich has a pickle, and it's located in the middle on purpose.
Yeah, I'm taking it back.
But you wouldn't know because sometimes it's off to the left or right. No, I'm with you that it's important. You wouldn't know until you were like two-thirds or three-quarters of the way through.
But then
wouldn't
you be mad?
I'm looking.
But wouldn't you get mad?
But you can't get mad if you went two-thirds of the way through the sandwich.
You can bring it back.
The first bite, I'm looking for that pickle.
I am too. I'm looking for it.
I bite it, and I'm like, okay, where's the pickle? And then I open it up, and I'm like, oh, there. And then I push it to where it needs to be.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
And you can take it back. Hey, man, I did not get any pickles. Here you go.
Yeah, where the pickle?
About four bites left. I need
the empty wrapper. Yeah, I thought for sure it would be in the last bite, and it wasn't.
It wasn't, bro.
So here's the wrapper.
Yeah.
So hot wings, got to have that ranch on deck, and chicken fried steak. If I don't have no gravy, I will not eat a dry chicken fried steak.
My gosh, yes.
Not stopping.
Yes.
Yep, 100%.
Yep.
877-881-1053. Maybe we'll do the last hour on what you would not eat without something. Baked potato and mashed potatoes without toppings from the 682. Yeah, 0501.
They had a discussion in Crosstalk today about, like, they were, like, Hagee was saying, like, well, no butter, no salt, no. I mean, he was throwing out all kinds of things that he wouldn't. And Sean was like going, wait a minute now, no butter, no salt, no pepper? It's all bad.
Chop said that he doesn't do salt or something. Salt might be the most important item one of the main ingredients on the planet.
How does he grill steaks without salt and pepper? I mean, it's hard to say. Yeah.
It's hard to say. By the way, I think you should have two pickles on a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
I agree.
I'm not mad.
I'm not mad at that at all.
I want there to be a partial pickle in my first and second bite. And again in my fourth and fifth bite. That is where I want partial pickles.
Oh, real quick on the chicken fried steak, I ran into some people that weren't from Texas.
Right. Man, he's right.
They weren't from Texas, and we used to mess with them. And we say, have you had chicken fried steak? No, I haven't had chicken fried steak. Ask for the dark meat.
It is confusing that the word chicken is in there in any way, shape, or form. It's very confusing.
We all know.
All right, coming up, the top stories at 6, of course. Patriots got a new quarterback, and where the Jets screwed it up with Jamal Adams, it's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.